All right, I'm going to call our BCPL meeting to order on this October 20th. Our first item of business is always approval of the minutes. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
I so move, Doug.
I'll second it. Great. Any edits or feedback on the minutes? See none, all those in favor of approving the minutes say aye.
Aye, Doug. Aye, Josh.
Aye, Sarah. The motion carries. Moving into approval of the loans, as Doug noted before the call, we've got two loans that are on the docket. Rich, do you want to just walk us through what we're looking at today?
Sure. The loan to Cumberland is to purchase land, and that land is located in a potential future right-of-way, and so they just wanted to acquire that land to make way for a future project if that ever happens. That's all I really have to add to the loans.
Nothing about the plow truck? We're in good hands here in Dane County with that purchase?
I don't know what color the plow truck's going to be, and that road work is important to the local constituents in that district.
I see. I move approval of the three loans.
There's only two, Doug. It's been approved and seconded of the two loans. There's no discussion. All those in favor of approving the loan say aye. Aye, Sarah.
Aye, Doug.
Aye, Josh.
The loans are approved. There is no old business, and there's no new business, so we'll just move into reports. Rich, you want to walk us through these great reports that we are looking at today?
Absolutely. Thank you, Sarah. Now, included in the board packet are two new reports that I anticipate providing on a quarterly basis. These reports are designed to give an overview of our portfolio, along with progress towards goals established in the investment policy. These two reports are formatted in a fashion that you might find familiar. They are designed just like the asset allocation located in the investment policy. Assets are organized between fixed income at the top, equities and alternatives in the middle, and cash towards the bottom of the chart. Then within each of these categories, assets are further broken down between public investments, which are priced and purchased in open stock and bond markets, and private investments, which are acquired directly from partnership sponsors or through direct negotiation with asset owners, such as WIDA or the Wisconsin Center District. The portfolio report is located on page 7 of your packet and provides general investment information regarding the Common School Fund, our largest fund by far. The first column details the asset classifications, and as mentioned, these are formatted like the EIPS. The next three columns include the cost, current market value, as of the date of the report, which in this case is September 30th, and the dollar amount of unrealized gains or losses within each asset category. Are there any questions so far? Then we have the percentage gain or loss. As you can see, we have experienced gains in every asset class except for private real estate and private equity venture capital. The loss in private real estate contributed to the timing of the investment and the onset of COVID-19. Immediately after our largest investment in this asset class at the end of February, this investment was written down by over 8%. That investment has since recovered nearly all losses, with a fund record 2.2% total return for the month of August, followed up with a new record of 2.7% in September. The September results were just released yesterday and are not yet reflected in this report. While I do not believe that we are out of the COVID woods yet, this fund, the Blackstone Real Estate Investment Trust, has come back stronger and sooner than expected. Losses shown in the private equity venture capital investments are not unexpected at this stage of the investment.
Sorry, Rich. Can you take a sure. Can people put their phones on pause, please, because there's just some distracting background noises. So if you people don't mind putting their phones on mute, that would be appreciated.
Thanks, sir.
Thanks, Rich. Yep.
The losses shown in the private equity venture capital investments are not unexpected at this stage of the investment cycle. Although one fund did write off a significant investment to zero, as discussed in the notes below and with the board last December, the remaining investments continue to hold great promise. The losses shown are mostly from what is known as the J-curve. During the beginning years of a new fund, investors are paying fund expenses before any of the initial investments start to pay off. Almost invariably, this process causes private equity and venture capital investments to show losses in the beginning years of the investment. In fact, this asset classification may continue to show losses for several years to come. However, commitments to the private equity venture capital class, a relatively small allocation, never intended to provide distributable income to our beneficiaries. This allocation is intended only to provide long-term capital gains to be added to the fund principal balance to offset future inflation. These early paper losses have no impact on that goal. The next column includes yield at cost, which is a vital part of this report, providing information about two important topics: how much of the return for each asset class is coming from interest and dividend payments versus expected capital gains, and how do asset classes compare to each other from a risk perspective. For the fixed income assets listed at the top of the page, as a general rule, higher yields will indicate higher levels of risk. These assets need to offer investors higher income to offset additional default risk or other risks associated with that particular type of asset. You will note at the bottom of the chart that cash offers the lowest yield, the state investment fund down to 13 basis points, of state trust fund loans, treasury securities, and state municipal bonds might comprise the next level of risk. Corporate bonds and private debt offer the greatest yield because there's additional default risk associated with these assets. Within public equities, we have tilted our purchases to higher dividend ETFs, and these assets are currently offering some pretty good yields too. Should we enter another equity downturn, most of these assets will continue to pay strong dividends, and any drop in share price will have no impact on our income distribution. And as mentioned, we expect no distributable income on our investments in private equity and venture capital. But over the long term, we expect real estate to contribute a high level of stable income while also providing excellent capital gain opportunities. I believe the most important column is on the far right, projected annual income. This column shows the diversity of income streams that has been developed within the portfolio over the past several years. Today, you can see that less than one-third of our portfolio income is expected to come from the state trust fund loan program, and that's a good thing. 10 years ago, nearly all common school fund assets were invested in loans. At one point, market interest rates crashed and over $500 million in loans were prepaid over the next 18 months. Even though staff invested income in cash into state and municipal bonds as fast as we could, distributable income fell over $5 million to about $30 million a year. We needed to develop additional income streams. In fact, investment policy states that, quote, "The mission of the BCPL is to manage assets of the school trust funds in a manner that maintains significant, stable, and sustainable distributions to fund beneficiaries," unquote. That mission is accomplished by diversifying the sources of the distribution, developing a robust stream of revenues that is not dependent on current market conditions or other variables. Reducing the volatility of earnings through diversification lowers the risk to our beneficiaries regarding the future funding to acquire books, computers, high-speed internet access, and other library media resources. The prudent investor standard and the IPS approved by this board, including the smoothing fund, have now provided us with the tools to avoid the decline in distributable income that we saw a few years back. Now let's move on to the next report, which won't take nearly as long to discuss. The asset allocation report on page 8 shows how we are doing in regard to the target allocations approved by the board. The first column contains current market values, which is the same column in the previous. The second column provides the current allocation percentage for each asset class, which is calculated as the current market value divided by the total value of the portfolio. Numbers shown in green indicate that the asset class is within the target allocation range, which is shown in the very far right column. Those numbers in red are currently outside of that approved range. First, please note that we moved prudently to fund the public market targets in both fixed income and equity markets. Following the approval of the IPS almost 4 years ago now, but it seems like it wasn't that long ago, you'll remember that we waited for overvalued stocks to drop in price before beginning to invest in this new asset class. The prices did eventually drop. Staff bought opportunistically and systematically to fill that allocation. We also moved forward with high-yield corporate bond ETFs and preferred stock ETFs as market conditions permitted. The only red marks in the current allocation right now are in the real estate and cash asset classes. And you will remember that the investment committee suspended the funding of real estate investments earlier this year until more was understood regarding COVID-19 and the potential impacts across the economy. The next column, unfunded commitments, shows how we are moving forward in that area. There are really two types of unfunded commitments included in this column. The first type includes finalized executed documents where investments are funded as external managers find opportunities and issue capital calls. The amounts included in this column are at the difference between the total commitments and the total amounts funded to date. Total amounts unfunded in finalized commitments is about $57 million, and this amount is subject to additional capital calls by the investment managers. The remaining $120 million in this category includes funds where the investment committee has made an oral commitment but still needs to complete the subscription agreement and other legal documentation. This category includes the Brookfield Infrastructure Debt Fund II, a $30 million commitment that we should be finalizing this week. We also have $90 million in suspended real estate investments that are included in this category, and we expect to complete those commitments over the next several months. The fourth column in the asset allocation report sums the market value of current investments and unfunded commitments within each asset class. If the market values remain unchanged, this column is the expected amount to be invested in each asset class once all commitments are funded. The next column calculates the potential percentage allocation. Please note that all asset classes are green in this column, falling within the approved target range of the IPS. Are there any questions before I summarize? In summary, go ahead, Sarah.
Rich, just a question for you. When the commissioners are looking at the performance report on page 7, when you look at 3.39 as yield at cost and projected income at around $40 million, how does that seem to be where you want to be, and how does that maybe benchmark against where you want to go in the future?
You know, I think that projection is higher. It would be a new record for us if we don't include the additional distribution that we made this year because of the COVID-19. I think that the original distribution amount was $38
million, 38.6, I think. Yep.
So regardless of where we go from here, we would expect to be able to distribute a record amount in 2020. I do think, and I'll get into this in just a little bit, that, you know, the amount that we have invested in cash is reducing that projected distribution. And as we invest those cash monies into more productive assets, the amount that we can expect in future distributions is only going to increase. Does that answer your question?
It does. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, this is Doug. By the way, thank you. That's a lot of work you've done, and I appreciate it. I may have missed this, or I may have been a quick answer. Of that, say, $40 million or whatever it turns out to be, what percent of that is coming from loans, and what percent coming from investments?
If you look on page 7, Doug,
I missed it. I'm sorry.
It'll show you the projected amount for each asset class, and you can see that the loans are expected to produce $13.4 million of that $40 million, so a little bit less than 1/3. Of the total projected income for the year is coming from the loan program. And that's quite a difference from where we were a few years ago.
Yeah. Well, thank you for clarifying that. Because, I've been around for a long time, and going back 30 years and looking at what we were doing, one could never have envisioned that the loans would not be our major income-producing activity, yeah. Okay,
still,
thank you.
They're still very important, Doug, and they will be into the foreseeable future. You know, the loan program provides excess returns to the fund, and we think it's an important asset for the agency as a whole.
So I've always felt
it's important to the state too. Going beyond just the investment aspect of those loans, it's an important program to the state.
Well, that's what I've always felt, and if we had to cut back on investments to fund loans, if the loan demand would have increased substantially, I, for one, would be in favor of that, but we'll have to see what happens.
It's really hard to predict loan demand, Doug, and we do have plenty of cash and other liquidity if loan demand did pick up substantially. For instance, you know, we could sell bonds, we could sell stocks, we could do a lot of things to create the cash necessary to fund the loan program, and I agree with you that would be, I think, in the best interest of everybody involved.
Right, okay.
And Doug, just to chime in about that piece, I mean, you'll remember when COVID hit, something that we were really proactive about was reaching out to the Towns Association, the Counties Association, the League, letting them know that we had financing available if they needed it. And I meet quarterly with the county treasurers to talk about financing as well. So I think we continue to let them know that we are here. As you've indicated, the loan portfolio is, of course, a top priority and has been important, not just for the great returns it produces for the fund, but also for the recipients and communities across the state. So,
in summary, Sarah and Doug and Josh, you know, I believe that these two reports provide a good snapshot of where we are with the current portfolio and where we're going. And I would hope that the board and other readers of these reports have the following four takeaways. One, staff is moving forward in a prudent manner to allocate assets in accordance with the investment policy approved by the board. Two, the Common School Fund portfolio is becoming well-diversified and should produce higher distributions with lower volatility as we move forward in filling these allocations. Three, as Sarah pointed out, the current cash level is at $220 million, and along with low cash yields available in the market today, this produces a drag on distributable income. As we invest our cash reserves into more productive assets, our distributable income will only increase from the record amount distributed in 2020. For example, investing $170 million into assets that produce just our average yield of 3.4% would increase our annual distribution by another $5 million a year. And four, BCPL staff is working hard to achieve that goal. I appreciate everybody's time. I know that this is getting into the weeds a little bit, but I do hope that these reports provide value to the board, increasing the understanding of Common School Fund investments and the direction of fund management. And as you look at these reports today or in the future, please don't hesitate to give me a call with any questions that you might have. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Rich, and thanks to the BCPL team, because something that the board indicated at the end of last year was how we wanted to have an investment kind of performance scorecard and how can we provide clear reporting. And Josh and Doug, I will let you know from the investment committee hat that I wear that this is something that Rich and the team and the investment group have been working really hard to kind of put together since these numbers and have been kind of in many different places. But Rich, to your point, I think, for us as commissioners, we have really two important goals. One is to make sure we understand how the fund is performing. And I think that, this report on page 7 does a really good job of us understanding kind of what is that yield at cost that you walked us through, but further, what can we project as income? Because those are the beneficiaries that we are working for every single day. But then the second piece as commissioners that I think is really important is to understand where are we in progress toward the investment policy statement, the strategy that we spent a lot of time improving. And on page 8, it really helps us understand where are we in making sure we are working towards that diversification so we have that constant flow of distribution depending on how the market is performing. So I think this is really, really helpful. It further works for kind of transparency and accountability, which is something that we talk a lot about. One of the questions, Rich, that I was going to have is, how often will we see this as commissioners? And you answered that right away, saying that this is something that you plan on sharing quarterly. And I think that will be really helpful for us to kind of see how we continue to perform and the progress that we make towards our strategy. So thank you for that. Any questions from the commissioners?
I have no questions, but just again, in response to point number four, thank you guys for all the efforts you do on to achieve this work product.
And something too that we've mentioned a few times on this board meeting, but I just wanted to kind of follow up in regards to reporting is it might be worthwhile at the end of the year if we kind of do a year in review on the investments, kind of sharing what are some critical investments we made, not just on the real estate side or maybe some alternatives, but also with the loan portfolio and highlighting, I think, some of the critical areas that we've made a difference and kind of where that money is going. But I do think it might be helpful at the end of the year to kind of just get a snapshot of the progress that has been made and where over the last 12 months. Because I know that we look at a lot of different loans every 2 weeks, and I think having kind of a final review of that would be really helpful.
Can do.
Great. Okay. Moving down to Tom's report.
Well, my report will be nowhere near as exciting as Rich's.
As everybody wakes up.
But I'll try to keep my remarks short. As you all know, the governor's budget office came back with revised spending reduction targets. You know, for BCPL, we were originally asked to for a spending reduction target of $215,000. But after lengthy discussions, they came back with a target of $107,500, and we're on track to meet that.
Good.
I tip my hat to Rich for the report. A lot of stuff goes into that. A lot of pieces get pulled together. You know, Denise put some of it together. Rich ties all those things together. And I think it's a great way of taking a look at how we're doing, but it is very labor intensive. You know, our loan information is in our loan software. Our municipal bonds and stock ETFs are in Portfolio Center, and then some of the real estate stuff is separate. The WIDA bond is separate. And so we've been looking at how we can do this differently. We've been using Schwab Portfolio Center since we started buying state and municipal bonds 10 years ago, and for stocks and bonds, the platform works pretty well. But if we're going to automate our reporting process and consolidate our record and investment record keeping, you know, we're looking at other options, and our new Deputy Secretary, Jim DeUlio, is heading up that effort, and we hope to have a better vision of what that may look like soon. So, and we'll keep you apprised as we move through that. And while we're investigating options for a software management platform for our trust fund investments, we're also looking at our land management options as well. And we've been relying on legacy software that was developed in-house many, many, many years ago. We're meeting with the DNR in the near future to look at their Whispers system and other options as well, and we'll keep you apprised on that as well. So, short report this week. Are there any questions?
I have one question. Did that landowner purchase the land we put up for sale?
It hasn't gone up for sale yet because we have to post notices in the local newspapers for a couple of weeks beforehand.
Okay.
Any other questions for Tom? All right. My report is brief. I just want to reiterate. Thanks for the report, Rich, and I think, Tom, you mentioned somebody who I also deserves a shout-out for this board meeting today, which is Denise, because I know Denise has been doing a lot of work and capturing all the back-end information that's critical to what we are looking at today. So, Denise, thanks for all your work on that as well. But I am excited to these quarterly reports. I think they're going to be really helpful in the future. So that's it on my end. Are there any future agenda items? Seeing none, is there a motion to adjourn?
I so move.
Is that kind of...
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor of adjournment say aye.
Aye.
Aye, Josh.
Great. Meeting is adjourned. Thanks, everybody, and enjoy the rest of your week.
Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Now, I would have taken...